You're a Liar Girl is the latest album from Nama Melbourne-based artist Sonny Morris, reflecting a big evolution as an artist. This record is really special. It gets into themes of childhood, family relationships, societal expectations, and does really create a portrait of a trans woman's experience. This record was produced with Liam Halliwell, a.k.a. Snowy, from Snowy Band. Another record that I've had on repeat is their latest record. And You're a Liar Girl kind of marks this shift for Sonny Morris away from folk styles, more kind of troubadour-esque situations, into rockier and slightly more fleshed out instrumental music, or music that's been fleshed out with more instrumental pieces to it. I caught up with Sonny Morris recently to talk a little bit about the change in sound and the creation of this record. But that's where we started. We talked about the shift in this sound and why it was the way that it was. Sonny Morris and me catching up to talk about You're a Liar Girl. The way that this album sounds, it is different from your previous records with how big it sounds. There's this sort of instrumental scoring. There's more instruments on this record when previously there's been, you know, a focus towards more classical kind of folk songs or almost more troubadour kind of like folk songs. This record does feel like it has rocky parts. It has these kind of ballady parts to it, still with this folk core. Does it feel different to you writing it with all of these different instruments? Was there a reason that you wanted to add more sounds and more feeling to this record?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually just listening to Laura Marling just then, the album Song for Our Daughter, and that was kind of the album that inspired me to especially add the strings parts that are on the album. There's one song called Ring on the album that's just a solo piano song. And I wrote it like 5 years ago, and I was feeling like it was my least favorite song on the album. And then I wrote the string arrangement for it, and it was like the best thing I've ever done. Like, I'm most proud of that. And I think that feels like, it feels like just creatively an exciting thing to pursue, but also feels like other ways to express yourself. I think when you write a lot of songs over however many years, you're trying to find other ways to express yourself, and some of that is in the way that you write and some of it's the way you play. And I guess this was another direction of trying other instrumentation to kind of convey what it was I was trying to convey. And yeah, I feel like it's worked out pretty well. I feel very happy with the instrumentation, and yeah, it does seem to be something that people are noticing and noticing a lot. And so I guess that's kind of worked out well, which I'm very happy with.
The minutes on the clock have become so very short. I never minded the idea of growing old alone. I don't want to buy a ring for you, baby. I don't need.
You said that this is the most self-assured you've ever been when speaking about this record. Is that as a musician as well as a person? Do you feel like the songwriting has strengthened with this more self-assured version of yourself?
Yeah, I think especially with being trans and transitioning, I've had to let go of or face a lot of insecurities, socially and in myself, and I think that has bled into my creative process as well. I've become more confident performing and writing, and I think that's allowed me to be more open and direct with what I'm writing. especially songs like Mother, It's Not My Fault, a very, like, it's quite a literal song. It doesn't kind of hide behind too much metaphor or anything, and I think I've been playing it live enough now that I'm comfortable with it, but there's definitely times where I'm playing it and I'm like, whoa, this is a very personal song. And I love that. I think I seek that out because I feel like if it's not personal, then I'm not feeling anything when I'm writing or playing the music. And I guess for me, that's what music is understanding yourself better and expressing yourself better. So yeah, I think it has been a very cathartic process and a very healing process, and I think I've developed a lot as a person as a result of writing songs like that. So yeah, I think being open and personal and vulnerable is very important to me with songwriting.
I like what you said there about it being really literal, especially, on the Mother, It's Not My Fault song. But the whole name of the album, You're a Liar, Girl, does also feel really pointed towards a childhood self or a person that you used to be or a person that you're trying to speak to. And I really like the kind of love letter and kind of representation that this is to the trans woman experience, and to from childhood to now, it kind of maps your experience with that. I can imagine it's interesting, especially with a back catalogue of songs that's been recorded with a voice of yours that was different to how it is now. It could be I can imagine that it's really interesting to sort of navigate those fields, but this does feel like a portrait of a trans woman's experience. Is it scary to be vulnerable or scary to feel, I don't know, connected to this broader narrative or this broader sense of representation?
Yeah, I definitely feel I have this sort of post sense of responsibility where I kind of look around at other trans people's experiences, and I feel lucky that I feel safe enough to be confident and share my voice. And knowing that a lot of other trans people don't feel that way, I think that's where the responsibility comes in, where I'm like, oh, I'm using my voice, and I kind of balance that where I'm like, it's not on me to speak for everyone, A, because other people can speak for themselves, but B, I shouldn't have to always be an advocate for the trans community, but it kind of just ends up being that way sometimes. But yeah, I think I realize the importance of having shared and continuing to share the trans experience in a songwriting form and what that does for other trans people, whether they're listening to it or for anyone that listens to it and potentially gains any greater understanding of the trans experience. I think there's a strange kind of, the responsibility that develops, especially with, like, putting this album out has put me in the spotlight a bit more, and like I've met more people, and I feel like, I'm definitely more conscious of what I say and do and the impact that has for trans people, which is also a wonderful privilege to have. So yeah, there's a lot in there to do with representation for sure.
Thank you. up to you, but you look down, and it's not the same thing. I'm not the same thing that I was when I was so little. Father, it's not your fault.
How did you land on You're a Liar Girl as the title?
Well, I didn't. I kind of knew this subconsciously, but when you said it's like a letter to someone that I used to be, I kind of, I'm like, yeah, that is true, actually. And like talking to my childhood self. I had a working title for the album, which was She Does a Pretty Good Woman. And it's just this like sense of a bit of imposter syndrome, but also the hypocrisy of the title You're a Liar Girl, because it's like you're a liar girl. Just the irony of like saying trans women are not women, it's like but you just, you know, trans woman, like. So I think there's, it's kind of referencing how complicated and also stupid all of the politics around trans people is at the moment. And that kind of acknowledging the imposter syndrome and like carving out my own path as a woman. But yeah, also, I guess, like, for example, the song Defect Woman is like most of the song is saying, I'm a defect woman. And then it, at the very end, it changes to I'm a perfect woman. And it's kind of accepting that both things can exist. And that, I mean, I have a friend who said to me the other day, who's a cis woman, that so much of the experience of being a woman is feeling like you're pretending to be a woman. And that was very comforting to me as a trans woman, because so often I had to tell myself that my experiences as a woman, or perhaps imposter syndrome, are not always necessarily because I'm trans. It's just that's part of the experience of being a woman, is that gender is a performance and you make your own, you know, sense of self and what it is to be a woman. There's a lot of like coexisting emotions in there.
Touching on what you said about writing a letter to yourself, or, you know, that idea of talking to your younger self, the reason I also sort of brought that up, because it does feel like that's a theme throughout the record. You know, there's songs, yeah, Mother, It's Not My Fault, but even To Be a Child Again, kind of you reflecting on the idea of you being a child again, something that I imagine a childhood version of yourself would be happier with, is your appearances on Rage. I know you've talked about this before, that your videos for the songs for Defect Woman and Mother, It's Not My Fault have both been played on Rage. How did that feel?
Yeah, I was excited about that, and it was especially nice with the Defect Woman video because my brother is in that, my younger brother.
Yeah, is your brother the boxer?
Yeah, he is a boxer.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize that was your brother. That's cool.
Yeah, I was like, I have a brother who, you know, he's a little softy. He's very gentle, but he looks tough. And I was like, that would be great for the video. But I remember when we were, I don't know, I would have been, say, 12 and he was 8. The little kids before school, we would get up at like 6 in the morning and watch Rage on TV and just watch whatever was on. And so it was a nice moment to be on Rage, but especially to have a video with both me and my brother in the video on Rage was a nice sort of full circle moment.
That's really special. I remember doing that with my brother and sister and my dad, and getting up and sitting in our pyjamas really early and watching Rage. And it was such a quintessential sort of introduction for Australian kids into what music was, and some Australian music too coming on there. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to see yourself on that screen with that hilarious logo that hasn't changed in however many years. Across the record, that childhood theme does, yeah, reappear and make reappearances. And I like the presence of influences like Nina Simone and Bob Dylan on this record. They feel present to you and maybe connected to a version of yourself that's been around a really long time that feels really, you know, a part of you. And then those newer influences like Laura Marling, like you said, coming in and sort of accessorizing on this past version of your musical self that's folkier driven or more troubadour driven with this newer version. And I guess someone that I feel like is maybe a new addition, maybe they're not, but I would love to hear about your relationship with Snowy, working on this record with Snowy from Snowy Band, and he's a label mate and maybe an actual friend, Liam Snowy Halliwell. How was he a part of the record? How did he come to be a part of the record?
I would say it's, in a way, as much his record as mine. He recorded and mixed and mastered it, so he kind is all over it. He also, in the credits, has the most instruments attributed to him. He's just very, like, multi-talented, and I think the main thing that I think was so great about working with him is that we have become good friends over that process, and I think there's a lot of trust there, and I do think it's helpful that we perhaps have like similar styles of music or similar interests, and that does help a musical partnership. But he's also just very patient and intuitive and kind of understands what you're looking for. We did like live band tracking first, and then we did some solo songs. I would go to his house to do some overdubs, and he came to mine, and it was a very sort of, we weren't rushing anything. We were just sort of very deliberate with the process, and I feel like I couldn't have made this album with anyone else. I think otherwise it would sound very different. And, yeah, I think it just kind of grew and developed. And, I'm very proud of having done it with Snowy. I think he's great.
I love the Snowy and Sunny thing too. If you could get a band together and it could be all about the weather.
Yeah, we played a show once, and I made a poster for it, and it said something like, first it's sunny and then it's snowy. Or I don't know. I'm always trying to milk that somehow.
I think, you know, you'd be silly not to.
So, yeah, if there's anyone out there with weather names, hit us up and we'll start a band.
This record is beautiful. It's really timely. It feels really intimate. It's really close, and it feels like you're trusting the listener with some really, really personal but important parts of yourself. It feels like a big exhale too. It feels like kind of the warmth of when you clasp a best friend's hand, and maybe that's the touch of Snowy and you together. Maybe it's the catharsis of you sharing things that can be scary and your courage to be really vulnerable. But this record is so special, and I really, really love it. Thank you so much for taking the time to put it out in the world and taking the time to have a chat with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your kind words as well.
I'm a demon.